Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
It gets more and more important in this day and age that we are the ones teaching our children. Crosby, Stills, and Nash said it. They said, teach your children well, and we have to. It's our responsibility as parents when we're raising them to tell the truth and not to lie and to do unto others that we must learn to teach our children empathy and compassion for others. Not necessarily sympathy, but empathy. We have to teach them, which is a very hard lesson to learn, that they have to be able to sort of understand what other people of other faiths or other genders or anybody else is going through that they may not be going through themselves. This is a tough lesson to teach. And my guest today, one of our fan favorites here on Healthy Children, Dr. Corey Cross. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So Dr. Cross, you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but teaching children empathy and compassion doesn't come naturally for all kids or all adults for that matter. And give us some of the best advice, your first most important thing that you want listeners to know about getting that compassion and empathy for others and how we can translate that and teach it.
Yes, well, empathy starts with understanding your emotions and feelings, right? So empathy is understanding other people's emotions and feelings. So the way to really teach that is first kids have to get in touch with their own emotions and feelings. So for older children, right, this comes with actually interacting. When we're only interacting through our cell phones and online, sometimes you can't really see the other person's, well, all the time, you can't really see the other person's face, and so you can't understand their emotions. So I think that for older kids who are having issues with empathy, you really want them to communicate face-to-face. And it starts with young kids talking about how they're feeling and then how other people around them are feeling. So when you have a little kid, what you can say is, wow, you know, was there anybody new at school this week? You know, if when you're starting school, anybody new to your class who doesn't know anybody? How do you think that kid feels? Did they play with anybody? Oh, they stood on the side. Why do you think they did that? How do you think they're feeling? What do you think would make them feel better? And of course, your kids can say, well, somebody would play with them. Do you think you could do that? You know, and maybe they say no because they're always so shy. Do you think you could at least try to say hi every morning to the child who's new in your class? So starting something like that where you sort of let them see a situation, talk them through it, and then talk to them about what would be the compassionate thing to do when you understand how somebody else is feeling. So you can do that at a young age and start that. And at an older age, you can still have these conversations. When you hear maybe, you know, your kids talking about some, maybe another click and what's going on, and you can try to talk them through this and say, well, you may think that the reason they're acting this way is this, but is it possible that this is the way they're feeling? Have you thought about it from their side? So really trying to get your kids to understand that sometimes you have to really try to put yourself in someone else's shoes to understand how they're feeling. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of adults these days aren't really modeling empathetic behavior, but that's where it comes from. We need to talk about our own feelings. We need to understand our own feelings so that we can understand other people's feelings. And then we need to model good behavior as adults. The other thing is that kids really have a very nuclear sense of self and of their own experiences. And so the way that you expand children's experiences through either travel or what they maybe watch on TV, but also what they read, books are an amazing way for kids to truly experience and get into the mind and heart of other people. So I think starting at a young age, choosing books that are about different races, different cultures, different situations, and that really show empathy and really show what it's like to be in a different situation, that is so important. And that continues on as the kids get older. But it can start at a very young age, choosing the right book.
And we'll talk about some of those books coming up too. But like, there's a Burger King commercial right now, Dr. Cross, that's showing bullying. And it's showing all these adults and people sitting around watching this kid get bullied. And I think that with an emphasis on bullying in this society today, that's a way to also discuss things like empathy. Do you feel sorry for that kid, or can you understand what that kid is feeling right now when they're mm-hmm. doing that. So even there's, you know, so there are PSAs about this kind of thing happening more and more. So starting them young with the books, you know, teaching them about these things and getting in touch with your own feelings, as well as helping your child get in touch, you know, the phones and the things and Snapchat and, you know, Instagram, those things don't help to foster that sense of empathy. So let's talk, before we talk about the books, some things that we can do right now that we can do to get our children involved in the community and involved in things that might help them to see the way that other people live.
Definitely. So, I mean, obviously doing different community service with your children really opens their eyes to how other people are living. And it also empowers them. I think that that sort of goes hand in hand. So you're empathetic. You understand where someone's coming from. You understand someone else's emotions. You're compassionate and you see that there needs to be a change, that, you know, it would be better if the situation were different. But then you need to be empowered to know that you can make that change. And so I think empowering our children and even empowering our adults that you can actually make a difference. And maybe you can't change the whole world, but for each person you help, you've changed their experience right then. And so that's enough. And so I think that, you know, of course we're going into Thanksgiving and Christmas, where people generally think about being more generous and we think about others. And of course there'll be food drives and clothes drives and cold winter coat drives and all of that sort of go on during the fall. But I think that besides us just saying, you know what, I'm going to go and buy some food and we'll bring this to church with us, or we'll bring this to temple with us because they're having a food drive, getting your children involved, saying, hey guys, how about we all go to the grocery store together? You get a cart and you buy food for one family. Like, you do it. And, you know, I will sponsor it, but you do it. So I think making the kids feel that ownership of the service that they're doing, and then they feel the benefits of being altruistic, of giving back. And so I think that's the same if you go to a soup kitchen. And it doesn't just have to be you and your family. You can make these sort of community service play dates, community service parties. Like, hey, you know, you're going to get together with four of your, like, girlfriends this weekend. You guys are going to sit around and hang out in your room. Do you guys want to all go volunteer at a soup kitchen instead? Like, I'm happy to drive you. I'm happy to do it with you. Something
yeah, they
like
have
that.
Those ones
really
like feed my, where the kids can get together, feed my starving children, and they
exactly.
get together, you know, that kind of thing. And I will just put this out there as well. In my family last year, and we're starting to ramp it up and do it again, we made blessing bags that we learned about online. And I went shopping with the kids, and we got food and socks and gloves. It's cold in Chicago. And we made these bags up. And then as we went to the city, we would hand them out to people that we saw on the street. We just walked around and looked for people and handed out these blessing bags that had food and water and socks, of course, and toothbrushes and, you know, just stuff like that. And
that's such a beautiful thing to do.
And so I think my kids really enjoyed it, and they had some nice talks with people. You know, some of it's a little bit intimidating, can be a little scary, but they really, I think, enjoyed it. So they're the ones who said, are we going to make those again? I'm like, absolutely we are. So there are ways to get creative too, Dr. Cross, where people can get creative in those things, like you say, get in their bedrooms and come up with stuff. So it's good to get your children involved so that they can help come up with some of these ideas.
And even the little kids, like I remember when my daughter was in preschool, they started bringing in quarters to raise money for a goat for a family. And, you know, there's foundations that do this. And so even little kids can start collecting their change and think about the fact that they're making a difference.
Oh, absolutely. So now let's talk about some of those books that, you know, you have a list of some books that you really like that you want to be able to impart to the listeners that will help kind of instill that sense of compassion and community. So speak about some of those books.
Yeah, so it depends on how old your children are. But even for my kids who are, you know, sort of getting towards the middle and end of elementary school, they still like hearing books read to them out loud. And I still think that sometimes that's a great way to start a conversation. So even though they're old enough to be reading them themselves, we read them as a family, and I think that that's a very nice experience. So there's books that are really on all these different topics. So one is food donations and soup kitchens. So there's this lovely book called Maddie's Fridge by Louise Brandit. And basically this is a story about two girls, and the one girl goes to the other girl's house, and there's no food in her fridge. And she slowly realizes that this girl is one of the 1 in 5 U.S. children. This is true. 1 in 5 U.S. children run out of food by the end of the month. So they live in food insecure homes. So for my children, they were like, wow, when's the next food drive? And I'm thinking, yes, this is what I want you to think about. For some kids, this is really, you know, a big deal. And that lunch that they get at school could be the only meal they're getting. There's also other books about working at a soup kitchen. There's a great book, Uncle Willie and the Soup Kitchen, that's really, it really sort of walks the older child through what that experience is like. So if you're going to go to a soup kitchen with your child, you might want to think about reading that book first. There's great books about Veterans Days coming up, right? There's a wonderful book called The Wall that is about a young boy. He's going to see his grandpa's name on the wall, and he's going with his father. And it just makes you realize that the people who have died for us and for our country so that we can live here, that they had families and what their sacrifice meant. And it's just it's a wonderfully moving book. So I would recommend The Wall for really this time of year, right around Veterans Day. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. And then as we get into Christmas, there's a book that makes me cry every time, but I love it. It's called The Carpenter's Gift, and it's a Christmas tale about the Rockefeller Center tree and how they use that tree to provide wood for homes for, they talk about Habitat for Humanity, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful book. So you just have to sort of think about what it is that you want to impart on your children. And then what I really like is books that are about other countries, other parts of the world. So there's one called Ada's Violin, and this is a true story about a recycled orchestra in Paraguay. So little kids who lived basically on a garbage dump, and, one guy who was there was a music teacher, so he thought these kids really need music to have some happiness in their lives, and they made a whole recycled orchestra, and then they were asked to play around the world, and it's just an amazing story. Another story that's great for this time of year is Boxes for Katya, and that is a story about packing boxes, and they went to Holland after World War II, and it just makes you realize how much of a difference one box can make to a person and to their community. And it's just a very, very nice book. But there really are books about everything. There's books about, you know, cold winter drives. There's books about, you know, environmental conservation, like Me, Jane, which is about Jane Goodall. And then there's just books that you can have around. One of the books I love is called Real Stories, Real Kids, Real Stories, Real Change. And it's about, they're about 2 to 4 page stories. And each one is about a kid who made a change in the world because they took the initiative to do it. And so I think those are super inspiring. So there's just wonderful books out there. I encourage people to look for them. Trombone Shorty is about Troy Andrews. So if you really like jazz, this is a guy who really talks about how his love for jazz was fostered by other people and how he practiced so hard, and now he gives back to his community. And it's nice to know that really, no matter what you love, you can find a way to give back through that, whether it's through music or dance. There's always a way to use that gift that you have to give back to others.
I completely agree. And I'm looking at your list, Dr. Cross, and they are lovely books. And they're enough to really make you tear up, give you the chills in some respects, to see what people are capable of, to see what resilience. You know, we're seeing it now today in Puerto Rico, and we're seeing it all around where people are very resilient and where people are suffering. So what do you think also in the last few minutes here about the things going on in the world today and using that as a way to help teach some of these things about resilience and other people suffering and maybe some things that we can do to help ease some of that?
Well, I mean, in a glass half full sort of way to look at it is there's been no shortages of suffering this year with natural disasters. So there's a lot of need for people to be compassionate and empathetic. So really, there's so many different between the wildfires that are going on in California to the hurricanes to Puerto Rico. There's just been so much that has happened that really there's so many ways to donate and get involved. So there's no dearth of experiences out there. I think also as we look at our political climate and just the vitriol that we see going on back and forth, whether it's splashed across the newspapers when you're in the grocery store or whether your kids end up hearing it on the radio or on TV, there's no shortage of you saying, is that the best way to maybe have said that? Is that the most compassionate thing? Are they being empathetic? Could you put yourself in that person's position? How do you think somebody from, you know, a different group might feel hearing that? So there really are so many times for us to not necessarily say they're modeling good behavior, but use that as a if you were in charge, how would you do things? If you had to say that, how would you say that? So even when somebody's not modeling great behavior, it can still be a learning experience for parents to say, how could we have done that better? And not necessarily that you're taking the other person down by saying that wasn't the best way, but just, is there a better way? And so I feel like there is really no shortage right now of learning experiences for you to have with your children.
I completely agree. It certainly is such great information. And we will put some of those books on our website at radiomd.com. Thank you so much, as always, Dr. Cross. Such good information about teaching our children empathy and compassion for others and ways to get involved in their communities and be creative and come up with ways to help others and feel that, not only at the holidays, but really all year round. So thank you so much for such great information. And remember, you can go on to iTunes and rate and review. That way, like-minded people, we can all get involved. This is information you can trust, listeners. This is from the American Academy of Pediatrics. That's where all our guests come from, here on Healthy Children. And so you know that this is the gold standard for pediatricians, and you're getting the highest quality, best information. So of course, we want you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And of course, listen to us on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children. Stay well.